Get ready to drop the puck, take a free throw, and step up to the plate. It's time for the Metro East Sports Podcast on lineupmedia.fm.
From the Blow It Out on Main studio, welcome to the Metro East Sports Podcast, Season 2, Show Number 2, recorded Monday, January 25th. Thanks to partners Cassins & Sons, Pin Oak Agency, Next Level Fitness, Blow It Out on Main, and Handsome Harry's, and of course, the O-Bar Cafe. We are talking all things sports in the Metro East. I'm Dave Leip, alongside...
Jim Cromer. That's me.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I just got a... I shouldn't even say it. I can't talk about it, but I just got an interesting text from a friend about some breaking news possibly in the next 48 hours.
So breaking news, breaking news from the IHSA.
Most people that know me probably know who it's from. Yeah.
Three things you can do to help the podcast. Number one, you can subscribe. Did you know that it's free?
I like free. Our first guest today likes free. I can tell you that.
Yeah, free's good.
You can follow us in our social media platforms, and you can email me at mespdave@gmail.com, and we've got a huge show again tonight. Third is Jill Weir, athletic director at DuPo High School. Who do you know from DuPo, Chrome? Where's the best pizza in Chrome?
I don't know anything about pizza in DuPo.
And what soft drinks do they drink there? He knows that they drink Pepsi in Bethalto. And they drink ski in Breeze.
Anywhere in Clinton County. That's a Clinton County thing. The only person I think I know from DuPo is a kid that's been talked about on the show before, Drake Westcott. I believe his dad has routinely said there's a statue of him out in front of the football field in DuPo. That's all I know.
Wow.
I don't believe there's truly a statue, but I think it's been discussed.
Middle guest today, Kylie Chitwood and Maddie Mina. Mespy winners, 1A girls doubles team of the year, Altoff High School. But up first is my buddy from the old neighborhood in Granite City. Welcome to the show, Coach Gary Henson.
Good evening, boys. How are you?
Back in the saddle.
Yeah, familiar territory for sure.
Yeah, you know, I very happily told Dave he wouldn't have to do any explaining to you about how to use the equipment. You're an old pro at podcasting.
Pro at something, I guess.
Yes.
Well, here you're
found out you guys were neighbors when you walked in.
Yeah.
Too. When you were younger, I had no idea.
We purposely didn't tell you.
Okay. We had a whole pack of
the look on my face.
Neighborhood.
Best wiffle ball neighborhood in the country.
In the world.
Well, yeah.
I mean, granted,
I'll go with that.
Ivy Lane, Binger, Cambridge, right there. That was the wiffle ball epicenter of the universe.
Granite City turns out wrestlers, soccer players, hockey players, and wiffle ball.
Every once in a while, a tennis player.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, come on. I can't give those guys too much credit with you sitting here. You're like one of two. Who's the other one, Rafi?
No, there's.
I'm kidding.
I'm not even top 100. Granite City had amazing tennis players. It's had amazing tennis players. We talked.
Granite City's an amazing place.
It is.
Let's be real.
It is. But you are coaching McKendree hockey now.
Yeah, right?
How about that?
Crazy.
You love it?
Yeah, I do. It's been an adventure. Started 2013-ish, 12, 13.
God, it's been that long.
Yeah. Jeez. I've been there over 10 years. Took over the golf program.
Hey, you started at golf there. I knew that.
Yeah, that it was kind of a whole thing, though.
It was a thing.
Well, they were recruiting Brandon, my son.
It was a thing.
For golf, and I said something off color. In regard to their hockey program.
Off color or off the cuff?
Degrading.
Off color.
Off color, okay.
Yeah.
You said something degrading to out in public or?
To the AD. To the AD and...
Welcome to McKendree.
And the golf coach at the time. I said, you know, not only do you need a golf coach, but you need a hockey coach because you guys are you're missing the boat. There's a lot of... A lot of student experience you could create here for not only hockey players, but your student body and a lot of money to be made for the school.
You had a vision.
I built a business plan for him, actually.
Good for you.
Wrote it out. I said something, like I said something just kind of kidding around. And then the next day, the AD called me and said, what'd you mean by that? And so I said, here, I'll put something together for you. And I said, are you interested in being more than just a club sport? Would you be interested in being a varsity level sport? He said, absolutely. So I wrote a business plan, presented it to him, and but I told him I wouldn't take it over because it was a large task. And at the time, I really didn't know what I was getting into. So once I'd been there a while, you know, a year, kind of felt my way through the golf. That's when McHenry was going from NAIA to NCAA D2. So in that process, we got the golf teams going in the right direction, and then took over the hockey program.
You were coaching the boys and the girls, men's and women's golf at McHenry?
Correct. Okay. Yeah. And that was the experience that I had from Collinsville High School.
So let's talk about your business plan that you presented to the athletic director at McHenry. Mm-hmm. This involved positives. You were going to make money from gate, from sponsorship, or from student athletes coming to the school, all the above?
All the above. Yeah. They only had one international player, Canadian kid. Nothing, not a real like recruiting model to follow or plan to follow, and definitely not a business plan. Didn't understand the impact a hockey could have at McHenry, both in enrollment and obviously financially. So it wasn't like an overly detailed plan, but it was a good plan. And I kind of showed them what hockey could look like as far as, the increasing the footprint of McHenry and the influence of McHenry internationally. And then, introduced what I would know and who I would know. And if they wanted to commit to a varsity level program, then this is what we could do for them. And we started with a really, I love those guys, but they just weren't great. So we had 17 guys and one goalie when I first took over. And now we have a men's ACHA D1 team and ACHA D2 team, both consisting of 26 rostered men, and then a women's team. We have
students. Which was number one in the country?
The women's team?
Yeah.
They were up there. They were in the top five for a while last year.
And men, last year, your highest ranking was?
23 at D1. So when we first took over, we were ACHA D3, which is a lot of club. But the plan wasn't to stay there. So came out of that with a 33-33 win-loss record. Went to D2. Went undefeated in the conference the first year. Went 18-2 the second year. Went 18-2 the third year. Moved to D1, and then last year won the conference. So we've run the conference at every level for the last 5 years. And last year our overall record was 20-5. And we have guys from 10 different countries.
Amazing. And what I think people don't realize is, okay, I want to be a collegiate hockey coach because I know the game, because I can make line changes and I can put lines together, and I'm great at teaching skating and stick handling. But you got that program going with business acumen and vision.
Yeah.
So that was more important than the X's and O's.
Well, the big part of it too is, I'm sure, I mean, and Gary, I'll let you expand on it, but that business acumen that helped get it started is really part of, like, from what I've been told from a lot of D1 coaches, it's part of your everyday work now. I mean, you're as much trying to keep the program afloat from a business side as well, right? Don't you have to make sure you're raising funds and you're keeping the staff there? I mean, that's the outside stuff that people think you just go there and coach. It's not that simple, I don't believe.
No, it's definitely I don't want
fundraiser, babysitter.
Don't take this the wrong way, but the reality is most of the day is spent doing things that aren't on the ice.
Yeah.
During season, obviously, scouting and those kind of things are the, whoever we're playing in the next weekend series or whatever. We're on the ice 1.5 to 2 hours every day. But we have to raise funds. We have to
recruit.
I tell you what.
We have to manage people. And it's much different. This level of coach is much different. I don't have a full staff where I can, you know, pawn things off. It's me and one other. And so, you know, we might get a GA sometimes or whatever, but, you know, these guys have to trust me more than a coach too, because I have to be an academic tutor as well. You know, like most of the coaches on staff at McKendree are at least master degree.
So. I know a Division I coach who has won multiple national championships. And I talked to one of his assistants who reputedly ran practice. I said, so I heard you run practice. He's like, yep, I do. The assistant. I said, and you do most of the private lessons with the guys too. He said, yep, I do. I said, well, what does head coach do? He goes, well, for 3 hours a day, alumni relations. Mm-hmm. Reaching out to alumni, he said, is how you keep that program afloat. So, I mean, if you're spending 2 hours on the phone just checking in with alumni saying, hey, are you going to come to that game that we're going to be playing? You know what I mean?
Right,
And yeah, if you want to bring your checkbook, that's great too. But but it's about maintaining those relationships, and they want to hear from you. You can't put your best intern on that alumni call. It's got to come from Coach Henson, the
Absolutely.
Head guy.
Has to, those kind of things have to come from me. In fact, we're having a meeting tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. about another fundraising project that McKendree's been involved with. We did it last spring. It was successful. And so we're going to do it this spring. And yeah, I have to be the face of that and make those calls and get people motivated and make sure that we're funded.
And you've got a new facility at which you play.
Yeah, we do. We partnered with Dean Olsey and his group. They built the McKendree Metro Recplex. We were practicing in Granite City. Or when I first took over,
which is nostalgic and beautiful,
yeah.
But to have a place closer to your campus,
right?
Awesome. It's on facility. Campus,
it's on campus.
So you had a big deal. You played a major role in getting that done. When did that project come together?
That came together around 2014-15.
Okay, so you'd been there for a couple of years.
Yeah, and you know, RAD sold the vision of hockey, and we'd had some success, and people could see that we were building momentum. And Mr. Olsey and Chuck Brigman, our AD at the time, they got together, and Dean presented an idea of a complex, and that it grew from what it originally was to what it is now. And now it's a $30 million facility. It houses all three men's hockey teams, and it's open. You know, it's a public facility, so. Pool, and now we have all the aquatic sports too. So
how many high schools are playing their high school seasons?
Oh,
there? Multiple.
Yeah, like almost all of the
St. Clair County.
Yeah, and Madison County. So the two, you know, there's three main rinks.
I think
East Alton, Granite, and then us. So
well, congratulations to you on your role in getting that facility, because I'm sure you played a role in it. I
appreciate that. It all stemmed from, you know, just the growth of, wow, look at what hockey's doing, and let's build. And again, then we brought in all the aquatic sports as well. So
in little old Lebanon, Illinois.
Yep.
Well, good, you know,
for you, man.
We've talked about it at length and some other things we've done together on like with Blues podcast and stuff. I mean, it's, you know, you have these areas, these pockets that have these talented high school athletes, right? And maybe they're not, quote unquote, known for certain things. I think things have changed, you know, as Gary knows, we've discussed on another show that you're seeing more and more hockey talent come out of this town for a variety of reasons. When I say town, I mean the St. Louis area.
The Metro East.
But my point is, having a destination close to home like this gives somebody around here something to aspire to, but yet he's raised the bar there so much. It isn't like, oh, well, I played high school hockey, I'll just go play at McKendree. That's not how it is. I mean, listen, I'm sure, and I'm not going to speak for him, but he's recruiting the local area, of course. But it's not just like, hey, you want to play hockey, go to McKendree. It's not that simple. Like, there's some, like, I've been fortunate enough to go out and watch some games, and every year until this pandemic, they Gary had worked out something with Jamie Rivers for the McKendree team to play the alumni, and it's a great event, does a great fundraiser for them, the alumni. But the truth is, I mean, these guys can play.
Yeah.
I mean, they can really play, and this is flat-out recruiting 101. Like, go get the guys that can play and go get the guys that can attract more talent, I think. So, like, is that, like, a domino thing for you? Obviously, the more players you get, the better players you're going to get to come surround those guys.
Right. So once we were able to recruit Ryan Sizer and Steven Sani, so those were our first two big recruits under me from Belleville, Ontario, and they had good junior careers and they came in. So then you get two Canadians and the next year you get four. And then we reached out and we were able to secure the captain of the Serbian national team when he turned 19. And then that led into, you know, more calls from agents that I had known in the past. You know,
you're talking to agents.
Yeah. Well, we call them agents, but advisors, you know, don't want to have any violations.
Right.
Advisors. Yeah. So I work with, you know, off the top of my head, probably seven right now, from all over Canada, all over Europe. We don't pay them.
Right.
They get their compensation through the students.
No,
student
family. You have a team one and team two.
Correct.
So your team one is your varsity. I mean, they're both varsity, but that's your higher team. That's your more skilled team.
Right. That's my team, the ACHA D1 team.
Okay. And
we have an ACHA D2 team, which kind of goes with what Jimmy was just saying in regard to local talent. That's where that team's focus is to make sure that we are on top of things locally and we have a buy-in locally. And so that group is made up of a lot of young men from the Metro St. Louis area.
Do you ever have kids locally who play on the one team?
Yes. We have Jacob and Noah Scrum that graduated from Collinsville that played for me. Ryan Reeders went to Granite City, and of course he played for me, of course he does play for me. So I got to keep the Granite City kids and
absolutely
Collinsville kids.
GC. GC and
I. But, you know, I mean, what Jimmy's saying, you know, it just one builds into three and four and so on and so on. And
now, you were talking about recruiting. Have you recruited anybody from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan?
Yeah, actually.
Billy Charles Boyd? Charles Boyd.
Billy Charles Boyd, who, if I can read the card right, hails from
Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan.
Yeah. Actually, Payne Paskey, or one of our goalies, is from that area.
Awesome.
Yeah. We get them from Ontario to Alberta, so things are good. And the more Canadians you have, as the Blues know, the better things get.
Where are you right now with COVID and playing a schedule this year?
Yeah, our schedule went from 30 down to, at one point, 4.
Wow.
We're at 14 right now, but it's only 3 teams.
Okay.
One local team.
A lot of familiarity.
Yeah, one local team. There are minimum guidelines teams have to meet for us, or schools have to meet for us to play, and vice versa. And right now we're testing at least once a week. And
okay.
So another
those
school,
types of guidelines.
Yeah, another school that we compete against has to meet those. Mm.
So when's your first contest?
We're 2-2 right now. So
you've already started.
Yeah. So what we would normally, in a normal year, we would start in mid-September.
So I didn't realize that you were playing.
Yeah, we had January 8th, January 13th, we played Maryville University. Unfortunately, we were not able to come out with victories, both one-goal losses. We had to go back in the record, go back a little bit and see when's the first. Last time we lost two in a row, it felt odd. But this team is new. I don't ever say rebuilding because I just don't believe in that. But this team is new and there's some adjustments to be made. Half of them are new guys. And so we're making adjustments. This past weekend we played Waldorf University, 6-2 win, 8-4 win. So
I think McKendry's got it going on.
Thank you.
Dan Dobbins is a guy that I've known for a long time, through tennis. And last year, in year number one of this podcast, we kept finding ourselves talking about McKendry making headlines in this, you know, women's wrestling, water polo, you know, like, and hockey, obviously,
right.
Basketball. I mean, on and on and on. But it seems like the model is include lots of sports and include lots of kids.
Right.
But when you're going to Moose Jaw, you know,
right.
And you got to say, kid, come to McKendry.
Yeah.
What are you selling?
Well, I sell the McKendry education, which is outstanding. And the guys get tired of hearing this, but I have 3 bachelor's degrees and 2 master's degrees. So, you know, it's hard to slack around me. And my wife's she's a master. She has her MBA as well, and so education is important to us. And is I think of myself more as an educator than a coach, and so I sell that. And one of the best things, one of the best selling points for me is my children went there. So my son's 27. He graduated from McKendree, and my daughter will graduate from McKendree here in a semester. So when you sit across from a family and the parents ask you, or even the student or recruit may ask you about education, or you bring it up, and then they hear my kids went there and they know how educated my wife and I are, it perks their ears and it becomes very serious. So I sell that. That's the most important part. Hockey's secondary, you know. Again, we feel like we're educators there first. So we've done a good job with that.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Look real spiffy, son. Real spiffy there, son. You got me on a slap shot bender now.
Who owned you, Chief?
This young man owns, is at a owns. Very trying rookie season.
Owns. Say, that reminds me. I was coaching in Omaha.
With the litigation, the notoriety, and the deportation to Canada, yeah. And that country's refusal to accept him.
Well, that's more than most 21-year-olds can handle.
Yeah. So we, as far as like going to Moose Jaw, I don't have to.
It's all interwebs.
Well, kind of. I fly him in.
Yeah, of course you do.
Fly him in, put him up in the hotel. Drury is our partner. And so they'll come in and they'll fly in. They'll be picked up at the airport. And captains usually pick them up, take them to the hotel, take them out to dinner. The next day they meet with me, tour the campus and things like that. I mean.
Sounds nice.
Then we have a talk.
Tell me about your style of your teams. Coach Henson teams play like this. You can always tell a Coach Henson team on the ice because they do.
They don't play like me.
Okay. how did you play?
I was an average hockey player on my best game. I was an average hockey player. But because I didn't have the best skill in the world, I had to think the game. So it's a cognitive thing with us. We teach the, you know, how to read. We try to get there first. And what I mean by that is we determine where the puck goes, whether we have it or not. If we can do that during the game, then that's a good thing. A lot of people obviously we talk about, you know, the protection of the house. Everybody wants to talk about that in the slot area and stuff, but my teams protect the blue lines. We focus on that area of the ice. We're physical. We play a puck possession game. The thing we had to learn really quickly with the number of internationals we had is, and we knew it, but we didn't know how much we had to adjust what we saw and thought. And this is it. There's a North American style of hockey and there's a European style of hockey. And those are very different things. They're played on different ice surfaces. And so when you have the North Americans, including, you know, the Canadians, they're about taking big chunks of ice and grinding and working, and the Euros aren't. They play on a much larger surface, so they're into puck possession, and they want to reclaim ice, which means go back toward their net, for example, and gain speed and attack. And then if they don't see anything, just pull up and, you know, take the puck back again and reclaim and go again. And so what we had to do was merge those two styles together, because it's just impossible to just throw one group into one thing or one group in the other. It's just we learned very quickly that's not going to work.
Because you don't have them forever. You've only got it, you know.
No, right. And so that's what we do is we mesh those two schools of thought together to create what our attack is right now. And our attack is a combination of those two things. Like this weekend against Waldorf, they're a North American style team, so we used that against them, and we played their style against them, and it worked well for us. If we go to, you know, some of these other schools, maybe on the East Coast, you're going to see more international footprint, and we're going to adjust our play that way, which is hold on to the puck as long as we can and however we can. So.
See, he's smart.
Cool.
He was a smart player, too. See, he would stand to the side of the goalie. I would shoot a hole through the goalie. When the puck dropped out the other side, Gary would knock it in.
I scored a lot of goals by getting hit by the puck.
There you go. So you guys played hockey together?
Mm-hmm.
Sure did. Yeah. Ball, hockey.
High school.
Cocktails.
Ball.
Sweet.
I was in his wedding.
He was in his.
I didn't
grew up down the street from you and his wedding. What the
hell? Yeah, I don't know. This is like old home week for you.
Oh, it is.
Well, that's awesome, man. I had no idea. I had no idea that you.
Well, now you do.
That you had such
juice.
Yeah, impact on that program. You know, I knew that you had success there, but I didn't realize that you had really rejuvenated it, and had been so instrumental in getting the facilities improved there and so forth. So that's really exciting, man. You know what? That's so much more important than wins and losses, because you gave tons of kids an opportunity to play ice hockey in that area.
Yeah. So, you mentioned it. So that's kind of our niche. Our niche is. They're definitely skilled players, both men and women in hockey, that get overlooked. And we're an NCAA D2 school. So there's, you know, we don't have that big D1 name. And D3 is kind of a, you know, it's hit or miss down there. So, I mean, we're pretty well established at the D2. You mentioned all those sports before. I mean, we were on the verge of several national championships when this COVID thing hit. I mean, we're talking 3 or 4 legit opportunities to have national championships last spring. So what we decided to do was find those guys who were, you know, fringe guys at the upper levels. And like my team, for example, my team isn't made up of guys right out of high school. My guys are 20 when they come to me. So that young man or that young person has gone to high school and then graduated and played 2 or 3 years of junior hockey and then maybe didn't get the offers that he wanted. That's how we got the Serbian national captain. Like, that's how I got him. Is he didn't get the offers he wanted, and I knew his agent, and Miloš called me and said, I got this guy, and we just snowballed from there.
Miloš.
There you go.
Let me tell you, you're not going to like this, but there's a great Seinfeld episode about Miloš. Another game for Miloš.
It's right up
your
alley.
Hey, Shanahan.
It's tennis.
Let's not do that.
What a great name, Miloš. Well,
Garrett,
what
a great episode, awesome to see you, man. So yeah, awesome too, to see you, and awesome to hear about all your success. And
appreciate it.
Congrats on your kids getting through college. I got one about to graduate. That's big. That's a big deal.
It's a huge deal, man. I mean, one more to go.
Yeah.
You know, and my full-time employment as an educator and coach at McKendree has allowed my children to receive a great
education. What
are you
teaching?
Well, I taught golf theory for a while. If you can tell me what that means.
My theory is hit the ball toward the hole.
You know what I did? I brought in Xbox.
He talked me into quitting. That's how it worked. I mean,
see, because here's the thing. If you called it just golf, then the NCAA wouldn't approve it. But you call it golf theory.
Correct.
Because that's what I had with the research analysis of sports and literature.
Yeah.
They wouldn't approve it when it was called sports and literature.
Right.
So we changed it to research and analysis of sports and literature. And then the NCAA said, well, that sounds like a fine class. We'll let you do that. That counts.
Correct. Taught golf theory in a classroom. I brought in Xbox and we just played Tiger Woods and we would go through situational stuff. But I can teach a few other things. I can teach intro history courses and English courses, stuff like that. So
there you go. Well, that's amazing.
As long as it doesn't interfere with hockey, so my bosses from that's their directive. You
Perfect.
Can teach classes as long as hockey's taken care of.
All right. Gary Henson, thanks so much for coming by. You got to come back again.
I will. Right. Enjoyed it.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, man.
So you were in Gary Henson's wedding?
I was. Yes, he was in mine.
Wow.
The only difference between the two of us, though, is that we've aged, obviously, immensely.
No.
Yes. One of us got the memo to get a haircut and one did not.
He's got the hockey flow.
It's more than flow.
He's got hockey flow.
You know where he should go. He should blow that.
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
He should go blow out that hair at Handsome Harry's.
That's a dude that could blow it out. Blow it out on Maine. I mean, it's not just for the ladies when it's, you know. He's all definitely, you know, what do they say? Business in the front, party in the back. He's got that going on. No doubt about it. So, anyway, hey, listen, I do want to thank them very much. And I did tell Gary, get your butt over to Blow It Out on Main and let them take care of you. Because, you know, maybe he's getting married. Or, you know, again, maybe it's a party. Maybe it's a bunch of McKendree people coming down. That's where you want to be. Fabulous. Take care of yourself. Do something nice for yourself. Get over to Blow It Out on Main. I will promise you, you will enjoy yourself, ladies. Have a party. when that young one's going to get married, you need a nice place to get together and have a have an exquisite event. That's where you want to be. Blow It Out on Main, 618-307-9999. And don't forget our friend Hannah, our mutual friend Hannah, in the back, running Handsome Harry's. And let me tell you, getting a haircut Friday, going to get the haircut and the scalp massage. You do not want to miss the scalp massage. That's awesome. My good friend Hannah, 618-581-3561. But yes, he definitely... I'm not sure what would happen if he blew that out. Somebody might get an eye poked out.
Not quite sure, but let's welcome our next guest to the studio, 1A Girls Doubles Team of the Year from Altoff Catholic High School, Kylie Chitwood and Maddie Mina. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Good to see you. And you are our second and third guests here from Altoff because we had your number one singles girl in here earlier this year. So you guys had quite a team this year.
Yeah, we did.
Tell me about what it meant to play on that team there for good old Coach Nestor.
I mean, for me, it means everything. The tennis team is definitely one of my favorite parts of Altoff, and it's just awesome to be part of it.
Girls got along well this year?
Oh, for sure. There's never been any problems between any of us all 4 years, so.
No fist fights?
Not yet.
Yeah,
not
no
yet,
hair pulling?
Not yet. I like that. Sounds like there's something brewing.
So you girls were number two and number three on the team, is that right?
Yes.
And you've played doubles. You won the sectionals 2 years in a row as a doubles team, which is impressive. Congratulations on
that.
Thank you. What's your strength as a doubles team?
I think both of us, Coach Nestor has taught us both to come up to the net as soon as we can and just finish out the point there.
You're aggressive.
Yes.
Yep. You get up there and you like to hit volleys up there at the net. See there, Chrome, you're learning about doubles. That's
volley.
That's doubles 101.
Is that doubles 101?
Get to the net. You get to the net, you control the point, you win in doubles. And, of course, Greg Nestor knows how to play doubles.
Well, I'm aggressive by nature.
I think that you would be one heck of a tennis player. I think that you would be incredible.
I think my knees are out on that one.
It was a tough year for us in tennis because we wanted to have state. We wanted to travel. We wanted to go play different tournaments. But we still had a season, and I think that we were all kind of grateful for that. Did you guys feel a sense of gratitude throughout the season?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Like, if not anything now, because I'm also on the bowling team, we don't have a season right now. So it's really awesome that we got our season.
Especially, like, it being our last senior season. Yeah. We're all very happy that we got to have that.
But you may still yet get a bowling season.
Yeah, hopefully.
I'm holding out hope for you. How about you? Any other sports for you?
No other sports.
Just tennis?
Yes.
Good for you. And you girls are both seniors?
Yes.
So what do we think we're going to do next year? We'll start with you, Kylie.
Well, right now I'm planning on going to Webster University and hopefully playing tennis for them as well.
Awesome school.
Good for you.
What an awesome school.
And Maddie?
I also plan on going to Webster and hopefully playing tennis for them as well.
Wow.
Yep.
Did you guys plan this together, or was it just like you looked at how did this happen?
Well, we both kind of looked at the school, and then we saw that it had a great tennis program, and we went to go visit with their coach, John Black, and we talked to him, and it seemed like a great fit for both of us, and kind of both verbally committed to that. So,
any idea what you want to study?
Right now, I'm looking at secondary education, English.
Well, that's what I do for a living.
Really?
I do secondary English.
She might replace you in sports and lit.
You're welcome. How about you?
I really like to go into anthropology, more in the forensics field with it.
Cool. They do television shows about people like you, right?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Are you guys buddies off the court?
No, I'm just kidding. Of course.
Best buds? Best buds off the court, do everything together.
Really?
Yeah, for the most part.
That's pretty cool.
So what came first? What came first, the friendship or the tennis?
We kind of met each other through tennis. We got really close through that.
All right, so how do you handle if things don't go so well? That's got to be, listen, that's competitive fire. You know, the juices get flowing. You want to win. Maybe something doesn't go your way. How does that go? Like, do you have a...
Take it out on the tennis court.
Yeah,
and then
sure.
Once you get off the lines, we're good.
Yep.
Okay. I like it. I like it.
Friendly on the court, I'm sure, to each other. That's what I've heard. And what's it like to play for Coach Nestor?
I don't know how to describe it. No, I'm just kidding. But it's awesome playing for Coach Greg. Yeah. He's awesome.
I've known him since 1980, were freshmen in high school. And I've never seen the guy without a smile. He's just always a super nice guy, always a good coach, too. And he knows the game of tennis. He's been around it his whole life. So I think you're lucky to play for him. So congratulations on your great season. And I'll be looking forward to following your careers at Maryville, hopefully.
Yeah, thank you.
Pretty cool. Good stuff.
Well, ladies, thanks so much for coming by, and I appreciate it. And, man, congrats on an awesome year.
What a great school, too. I love Altoff.
How would you just, are you guys back at school full time now?
Yes.
Man.
Every day, all day.
Yes.
Jealous. Maybe I should send my daughter there.
How long have you been back?
We started in school since the beginning of the year in September.
Or August. Just kidding.
So you guys have rolled right through.
Never gone remote?
We went remote for a week after Thanksgiving break, but besides that, we've been in person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had Avery Irwin in here also. You know him?
We do.
Is he nice to you at school?
Yep.
He better be. He was a gentleman here, yes. So I would expect him to be. I would expect the kids at Altoff to get along pretty well. And
yep.
You feel like that?
Yeah. No, I know a lot of people that have went to school there, and I think the thing that I think is great about it is it seems to me, if you're ever going to do anything, what you really want is, people always say is like, I want your kid now, but when your kid's older, I want his kid. I want him to have had such a great experience. And Altoff seems to be that way to me. I know so many guys that went to Altoff that are now sending their kids there. And it's just.
And are you guys multi-generational there?
Yes.
Who went for you?
Both of my parents.
Really?
See what I'm saying? Like. Yeah. That's a major testament to a school, to an institution, whatever you want to call it. Like, that's impressive to me. I don't know.
You too?
My parents didn't go to Altoff, but my aunt did, so, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, it's a little jewel right there in Belleville.
Sure is.
Little jewel.
What are the other jewels in Belleville?
There's some good jewels in Belleville.
Chrome always Demos. Wants to talk about, like, where's the best place to eat in Belleville?
I'm going to have to say the White Cottage.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Jefferson's
also a good one.
Yeah. Pretty good. There's all kinds of good stuff in Belleville, man.
I know it. We've got the new Hofbräuhaus right there.
Hofbräuhaus.
Right down the road from Kings Point, right there where old Chirp's giving tennis lessons. So that's a good place, too.
No, that's a fun town, man. I spent a lot of time there playing ball and hanging out with the fellas. Demos. Great place.
There you have
Demos.
It. All right, ladies. Well, once again, congratulations on your MESB and all your success. And have a great day at school. And we will see you later.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much.
We are proud to announce our partnership with Cassens & Sons, the number one place to purchase a Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram in the Metro East. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned car, check out Cassens inventory in person where they've been for 25 years. Or online at Cassens.com. Cassens has earned the highest ratings for customer service. Their expert staff is committed to making your car buying experience enjoyable, including convenient on-site financing. I've purchased 4 vehicles there. My daughter drives back and forth to IU in a Jeep. My wife and I drive a Jeep Grand Cherokee. With over 80 years of experience in the Metro East, Cassens is the clear-cut leader for quality, service, and customer satisfaction. Go see Steve, Cliff, Holly, Greg, Bob, Mike, Tony, and Trent today.
You better do it now because you'll be glad you got those Jeeps and four-wheel drives and all that good stuff when the snow comes. They're saying it might snow soon.
It's going to.
And you watch. I'm telling you, it's like clockwork. The minute that happens, people start going, man, I wish I had a four-wheel drive. And then they head to the lot, and it's a day too late. Get your butt over there.
Cassens is the best. No matter what kind of car you're looking for, they really are the best. And now we'd like to welcome to the show Dupo Athletic Director Jill Weir. Welcome to the show, Jill.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. How long have you been the AD there in Dupo?
I have been the AD for 7 years. I think I'm going on 8. Okay. I'll be honest, I kind of lose track of time.
Yeah, especially this year with all the craziness going on. But let's talk about your journey to becoming an athletic director. Where are you from?
I'm born and raised, Columbia, Illinois. I went to, the Catholic school, though. I went to ICS in Jabot. I graduated from Jabot and, was involved in athletics, you know, through all of grade school and high school. And then I, went to SIU Edwardsville and, I played soccer for a year there. It was just a walk-on, wasn't ready to give it up yet, but proved to be there's quite a few very, very good athletes there. but went into teaching and started my very first teaching job. It was at DuPo back in 2002, and I started volunteer coaching and then ended up coaching for quite some time there. I was the assistant girls volleyball coach for a time, and then during that time, I was also a junior high girls volleyball coach. I was, or junior, not volleyball, we didn't have volleyball yet, junior high basketball coach. I was a seventh grade coach. And then moved up to the eighth grade coach and ended up coaching high school girls basketball as a varsity girls coach. And then went from assistant volleyball coach to the head coach there. After I coached there, I went to Jabot for a little stint. I was assistant volleyball coach at Jabot. Let's see. I can't remember what year that was. That was, I guess, 2010 or 2011. Here I was the year we went to state, the volleyball team went to state. And then I was also the head girls basketball coach at Jabot. And the opportunity came back at DuPo. They had a position for athletic director. I kind of wanted to get back with my own students. You know, it's hard to leave at 3 o'clock and go to a different school. Don't get me wrong. I love Jabot. I love being back at my, you know, my high school, and my athletes were awesome and the families were great. But I kind of missed my own students, you know, seeing them during the day, but not being there with any of their extracurriculars. And there was no coaching positions available at DuPo, but the athletic director position was available. And I was approached by the superintendent at the time. And I believe Craig Roth was the athletic director at the time. And he was trying to balance a lot because he's also the head of the special ed department. And they said, I don't really have any coaching positions, but I have the athletic director position. I think that you would do a good job at it. And I thought about it and I was like, well, I guess instead of being around one sport, I'll be around all the sports. And that's history. I've been doing it ever since.
What surprised you about the job?
I knew it was always a lot of work because I saw previous athletic directors do it, you know, multiples. We had been through multiple athletic directors in like 5 years. Like, I think we went through 4 athletic directors in 5 years, and it's overwhelming when you teach also. But I was very surprised at the work. I mean, I knew there was workload, but the amount of organization you need is incredible. I'll be honest though, technology has helped that. I know people used to do things old school with phone calls and whatnot. So, you know, email and texting is amazing now to help you with a lot of that.
Do you have a secretary?
I do not.
Okay.
I do everything
myself. How many hours a day are you teaching?
I'm teaching 4 classes a day.
Wow.
So 4 of our 7 classes I teach. And then I have a conference and plan for teaching, and they do give me 2 class periods to work on athletics. I have junior high and high school athletics.
That is a tough job. You do have a tough job. I mean, with the scheduling, just arranging umpires and officials, I mean, that's just that.
Yes.
That's amazing. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a very, very difficult, you know, something comes up, or, you know, there are people, they have emergencies too. So I used to get phone calls that, you know, in the middle of a class, like, or a text message, I can't be there at 2 o'clock, and you have a softball game starting at 4, and you're like, oh my gosh, you're scrambling to find someone new. But I have to say, like, the DuPo has worked very hard to, like, they have moved all my classes to the morning. So I now teach in the morning time. So the afternoons are open more for things like dealing with rainouts and things that pop up like that. So that, you know, they have done very, very good job of helping me with that.
And what do you teach?
I teach health. I have 7th grade health, 8th grade health, and then the high school health classes.
So is the middle school and the high school all in one building at DuPont?
Yeah. We're in one building. We shouldn't even say middle. It's like the 7th and 8th grade is in our building, but they have like their own like side of the building. So all of their classes and everything are on one side. I should say the majority, they have to come over for things like PE, health. At one point they had a yearbook class, they'd have to come over, but generally they're in one wing of the building, one big section, and then the high school's over in the other section. But I mean, our school's not very big. If anyone, it's not huge. You know, we're a small school, but yeah, we are all in one place.
I want to call a timeout here for a second and talk about one of our partners, and then I want to come back and ask you about some of the shifting around that's going on in your conference and how that's going to affect DuPo.
Got it.
We are proud to continue to partner with Pin Oak Agency, located in Maryville. Pin Oak Agency Insurance and Risk Management will work with you to find just the right insurance for your car, home, health, business, or farm. A lifelong resident of the Metro East, Andy Calloway is here to help your family safeguard against the unexpected and plan for the future. Give Pin Oak Agency a call today at 288-9375 to set up an appointment. Andy and his staff will listen to you and help you reach your goals. Or find them on Facebook at Pin Oak Agency. And don't forget to tell Andy that we sent you. Talking to Jill Weir here, athletic director at DuPo High School. And you, of course, are in the Cahokia Conference, and you've been in the Kaskaskia Division. But there's going to be a whole bunch of shifting around. What's going to happen with DuPo?
There is. So DuPo, the plan is we just rejoined Cahokia, and we've never left it. We've been in the Cahokia Conference the whole time, but we did leave for a short period of time with football. And we end up coming back to football in the Cahokia Conference. We have some shifting going on, which is going to be work for us. And for a lot of other schools in the conference. So there are going to be three divisions, and we will be in the small division for all sports except football. The smallest division, which will stay the Kaskaskia, none of the teams have football besides us. And so we will move and play football in the medium division. And that'll be, you know, so we'll play – you got Carlisle will be there, Redbud, some of the schools that we were playing previously,
Westland,
but some of the really big, the bigger schools that would make it very scary for us, you know,
Columbia,
Salem,
right.
Salem, Columbia, Central, they are going to be, we won't be playing them unless we decide on a crossover game. So I think this is extremely beneficial. I mean, I love the Cahokia Conference. I know that the history of it is amazing. And it's just working with a great group of people, and the people that have been at it are also a great group of people to work with.
It sounds like kind of an intricate plan that you would have to get a lot of people cooperating to make it happen. Or the alternative would be you get rid of football. And you don't want to get rid of football. So you were able to stay in the small conference, move football up to the middle conference. Well, congratulations to all those ADs for knocking their heads together and coming up with a good solution.
Yeah. And it's great for our kids. I mean, we don't want to lose football. And I don't think I know our coach definitely had no desire to play seven man football. And he's been working really hard to get more kids to play. And I think this will help, you know, the kids play too. You know,
what's his name?
Joe Day.
Okay. Good for him.
So he's, he's been, I mean, all the coaches that we've had recently in the past, the past 8 years have really worked hard to build up. Cause it's not just our school. Tons of schools are losing football players. Tons of them. We weren't the only school struggling keeping numbers. But I think this is going to help, you know, not just us, but other schools that are in that middle conference as well, help keep their program.
What's the toughest thing about being the AD right now in DuPo? Is anything easy about the job? I don't think you ever meet an AD who says, man, this job is easy. Maybe Alabama. You know, where you win a national football championship.
Win all the time.
Yeah. But what's tough about your job that people may not realize? What's unique about, uniquely challenging?
Yeah, especially right now, is just keeping your athletes, like, positive. I'm talking about COVID right now.
Right.
The whole COVID schedule. We've been shut down with sports I think they shut us down around November. And they're like, no, you can't do anything. and, you know, trying to keep those kids, hey, just keep positive. It's going to come. You know, coaches are trying to, you know, do Zoom meetings with them and, you know, some one-on-ones if they can, with especially and just trying to keep their, helping them keep their grades up. You know, some kids struggle with the online stuff. I think that's been the most difficult part, is to keep your kids, you know, positive and have, like, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And that's the hardest part. And that's the part that kind of tugs at your heart, because you feel so bad for them. Like, these senior kids are losing their senior, you know, the senior year, or, you know, even the junior high kids, like, you know, they're used to getting to do some of these things, and they're getting to do, you know, their trips, even their class trips are getting canceled. And so, you know, we're just hoping that they can have something. So that's the hardest part. But then when things start changing, now you've got scheduling, you know, today was been in, you know, the weekend, and today, absolute busy day. You're trying to reshuffle schedules and try to get officials to, you know, pop in there, because everybody else is reshuffling their schedules. And are we going to get to play? Are we not going to, you know, we can practice now, you know, but we can't play games yet.
One of the things,
are we going to get to that or not? We don't know.
It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. And what's the latest? What are you hearing today? What did the IHSA just come out with most recently, and how is that going to affect kids?
Yeah, well, today, so what we're starting today, we were able to start practices, and the type of practice you have depended on what level, risk level your sport was in. So we our region went to tier two finally on Friday. So Monday we were able to start. If you're a high risk sport, so our football, your basketball are considered high risk. So they can do non-contact practices. They can't have contact. They can't scrimmage. Any drill they do needs to, you know, they're trying to be socially distant as possible, so on and so forth. Lots of ball cleaning, hand sanitizing, breaks, things like that. Moderate risk, which is in the middle, you have like your volleyball. They went from no practice whatsoever to, hey, you can basically have a practice, you know, if you're wearing your mask and, you know, following the guidelines, and you can actually do inter-squad scrimmaging and everything. And then you have low risk, and that would be like your bowling. You know, they can actually have matches, but we don't have that in the works yet. The area is meeting tonight. The conference, I think, is meeting tonight or tomorrow to kind of put something together for those kids. And we're still waiting. We're waiting Wednesday. IHSA is having a board meeting. And we're hoping, the rumor is that they're going to finally set seasons, and then they're going to set them, and they're going to keep them like that. And then that's what the rumor is.
That's the rumor.
That's the rumor. You know, because I feel like, so somehow I just don't know how people know this stuff. I'm like, how did you hear that? Like, where did you hear that?
Yeah.
But I feel like hopefully they can do that. Set some seasons up, and if we make it into the proper tier level, or I guess phase in some cases, for the high risk sports, if we make it to the proper phase, then hopefully we can play a game against somebody else. It all depends on, you know, the tier, you know, that, because like we're in tier two now. If we go to tier one, then that loosens restrictions a little more. So we just have to be prepared. I warn parents, like, there's going to be mass amounts of emails, social media posts, coaches are going to be like sending out emails. Like, you just have to try to keep up with it if you can. And if you have questions, call and ask.
I sent out the email to my team yesterday and said, look, I know you're hearing that things are starting up again, and to some degree they are, but honestly, right now, I don't know anything about tennis. You know, about tennis, they haven't said anything
that we can do.
So we're just like, okay, you know.
I know, that's so odd to me. Like, even if you would play I get doubles might be difficult, but one-on-ones, you're pretty far away from each other.
Yeah, there's not one documented case of anyone getting COVID through tennis.
With tennis, so, yeah. We don't have tennis, so I don't really pay that much attention to it, but that seems odd that they haven't done anything for that. When's the normal season for tennis?
March, April, May.
March?
Yep. So I think I think probably we will be pushed back. Ideally, maybe April, but who knows? You know, when you start pushing stuff back, yeah. now you're messing with everybody's summer, and there's summer baseball, summer tennis, summer camp, summer jobs.
Yeah.
You know, there's just, I mean, it's just, it's a never-ending consideration, and it's not easy. And we all appreciate the difficulty of the IHSA.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's a tough job, but it sounds like pretty much all of us just are trying to do the same things. Keep the kids connected.
Exactly.
Keep the kids positive. Get the kids back on the court in the safest way possible. And let's get on with our lives. But, you know, hopefully sooner than later. This has to be the toughest thing you've had to deal with as an AD since you've been there.
It absolutely is. I never in my years would have ever thought as a teacher or an AD that I would be dealing this, and my students would be dealing with this. It's, you know, sometimes you're just like, you're amazed. Like, I can't believe this. But I tell my students all the time, like, you guys should be patting yourself on the back. You made it through a whole semester of this. I tell the athletes that when I see them, I'm like, you guys have made it through this and you're rolling with the punches. Like, that's a good thing. Like, you don't realize how amazing that is of you. Like, just keep up with your grades so that whenever the time comes, you're ready to go. So,
well, good for you.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Good for you. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. And I know you've got a busy schedule. I know it's a busy time for you. Like you said, the ADs are going to get together here shortly, and you're trying to come up with plans and you're trying to do all kinds of different crazy stuff. So I definitely appreciate you taking the time to be with us today, and I wish you the best of luck there in Dupo.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
Okay. Talk to you later. Bye-bye, Jill.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Well, interesting conversation there. I feel for any AD. I mean, let's face it. I think there's people out there that aren't even 100% sure what an AD does. Of course they see them at events and they see, you know, they walk around and do stuff, but people don't realize the amount of scheduling that's going on behind the scenes. Oh. And that's in a normal time. I mean, imagine, like she mentioned it, she touched on like rainouts or somebody, you know, let's face it, it's part of life, right? Somebody calls off, umpire gets sick, do whatever. There's so many things that they have to be on top of. And we're not talking about one sport. We're not talking about just your little team that you coach, you know, all that kind of stuff. She's doing it for a whole school, and then add in these moving goalposts to it. Holy cow. I mean, my hat's off to all of them, but, you know, to her especially. Good, you know, great work.
Yeah, no kidding. We are happy to continue our partnership with Next Level Sports Performance Institute. Next Level offers massage, sports medicine, nutrition counseling, sports performance training, and customized personal training. Located in Edwardsville, just minutes from the SIUE baseball field, Next Level can help you recover from an injury or help any athlete maximize his or her talent using state-of-the-art equipment. Give EJ Jones and staff a call today at 307-4567 to begin training like a pro, or check them out online at nxtlevelnation.com. Big show tonight, Chrome. I appreciate all you did tonight, and I think it's all about to come to a head with the IHSA this week. I think we're going to have some definitive answers, and I've never said that publicly before, but I think by the time we do a show again, we're going to know what's going on.
Well, I mean, you're a coach. I mean, aren't you kind of at the deadline of, I mean, we got to do like it's almost like we got to do something, even if it's wrong, just because you got to be able to start looking at some sort of realistic schedule. There's too many sports to do in the short amount of time they're already doing it in. If you keep pushing any further, you know, we're talking about there possibly not being some sports because there's just not enough to go around. But I hope that's not the case. And I just want these kids to be able to do what it is they want to do.
From the Blow It Out on Main Studio, big thanks to show guest Coach Gary Henson, McKendree Hockey.
Two R's,
Gary.
Gary Henson.
Kylie Chitwood and Maddie Mina, 1A Mespy winners, tennis players, Altoff High School, and athletic director from Dupo High School and Middle School, Jill Weir. All guests receive a free drink at the O-Bar Cafe. Thanks to partners Next Level Performance Institute, Pin Oak Agency Insurance and Risk Management. Yep. For our producers, Brian Kroc and Everett Hicks and Cassins and Sons, and my co-host,
Jim Cromer,
and our intern, James Zugemeyer.
Thanks. I'm Dave Light. Thanks for listening to the Metro Esports Podcast, talking all things sports in the Metro East.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.